Well, good morning. What is September?
Birthday.
Turn to somebody and say happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
What is all that about? Well, our church, we are celebrating the entire month of September, our 35th birthday. Well, actually, we're going to be celebrating the entire year with all kind of things that are going to be coming up. But today's going to be a little bit of an unusual day, but a great day. Some of you guys are looking at things are unusual. Who are those people behind you? What's happening right now? Before we jump to that, I do want to, that video we just saw, I want to mention that on our 35th birthday, we want to do something extraordinary for our community. So we have met with all the leaders in our community, all the politicians, all the government leaders, Health and Human Services, just too many of them, all of them. We met with them. Basically, we had one question. What do you need help with? What do you need done that you cannot get done? And we took all their answers in, and forget about money. If you had money, what is it? And so we have, from the community leaders, we have identified five projects in this church in one 24-hour period is going to send out volunteers, an army of workers into this community in one 24-hour period, transform it for the better, okay? And we already have 346 volunteers signed up. Awesome. I don't know who's counting, but we are. No, I'm just kidding. We're counting. And we want to be right about 500 volunteers. Now, these are projects ranging from all the way to repairing the one-room African-American schoolhouse in Waterford to the Loud and Abused Women's Shelter, a shelter there, and the list just goes on. Habitat for Humanity community, a bunch of houses there. And so it's a massive, massive undertaking, and I'm asking you to sign up today. Go right outside after church, see the One Community banner, and say, I want to be a part of the team, and I'll be out there on that Saturday making a difference in our community in saying happy birthday to our community. So today, what are we doing today? I want you to take your note sheet out if you would. Service hosts have already come. Come on, guys, if you've got, come on down, service hosts, if you would. It's good to see Winston back there. Oh my goodness, I can preach. I'm gonna preach better with him. Hey, brother. Everyone receive an outline when you came in. Yes, this is a fill-in-the-blank church, and we have fill-in-the-blanks this morning to fill out. Borrow a pen from somebody. Okay, let's begin. I want to run through some of these fill-in-the-blanks, and then I'm going to introduce this bunch behind me. Deuteronomy, we're going to start with the passage there. And if it's up there on the screen, can we read it together? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Let's read this together. Be careful. Watch out, and don't forget the things you have seen. Don't forget them as long as you live, but teach them. So the Lord says, what's the first thing he says? Be careful, and then what? Watch out. Why? Why? Come on, help me out. I'm sorry, I haven't had my coffee yet. Be careful that you don't forget. There's a real tendency for us to forget what God has done. Be very, very careful. And not only that, make sure you teach them to your children and your grandchildren and your children's children's children and just keep passing on. Be very careful that you don't forget. So let's just start here. I want to suggest to you that it is every one of our responsibility to pass on the things that we have experienced from God. It's a responsibility. In other words, by the way, that's fill in the blank. I'm already moving. Gotta stay with me. Come on. Fill in the blank. It's everyone's responsibility in this room to pass on the experience that you've had with God. In other words, here's another fill in the blank. It's our responsibility, everyone's responsibility in here to be we might call it a witness for God. What is a witness? A person that has stands up with a sandwich billboard that says, repent or you're going to hell. I know there's all kinds of things that go into your mind when you hear witness. Every one of us has a responsibility to witness for God. What are we talking about? Passing on the things that we've experienced from God. Not your opinions. No one gets, a lawyer doesn't call you to the witness stand for you to share your opinion on what happened. They call you to the witness stand for you to share what you saw, what you observed, what you have heard, and what you've seen. Not about the book you read. Well, Your Honor, I read this book and I think, no, forget about that. That's a nice book. Tell me what you observed. Did you feel anything? Did you see anything? We want to hear you. We want to hear you witness. So, by the way, let me just say here that witnessing is one of the foundational and primary ways that we know anything about any that we know something about anything. It's one of the foundational ways that we have knowledge about anything. It's one of the ways that we verify something is true. Now, we see this not only in the court system. It can be a he said or she said, but once there's a witness, and if there's two witnesses, and if there's three witnesses, wait a second, this thing can be established. We can start to believe, there it is, believe that it's what? True, just based upon a witness. Many of you have probably never been to, maybe some of us have never been to the, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. How do I know the Grand Canyon's there? How do I know what it's like? We could go on. It doesn't matter what field this is. This isn't just about Christianity. It's about knowledge, period. We depend upon witnesses. I want that to sink in. We depend upon witnesses. It can be something as simple as a movie. Oakley was just turning 10 years old. For his birthday, what did he want to do? He wanted to go see the Emoji Movie. The first thing I went to was to Rotten Tomatoes. What's the app called? Anyways, but I pulled up Flixster, pulled up, thank you, pulled up the Emoji Movie. It has the worst Rotten Tomato meter in the history of any movie made. I'm serious, look it up. The worst. Viewer after viewer after view, it was rated the worst. So I'm bringing Oakley over, you're trying to save his birthday party, right? I'm like, look, like every, this is the worst score of any movie in the history of humanity. This is the worst. Don't you want to go see Planet of the Apes? Jill's like, you can't take 10-year-olds to Planet of the Apes. I'm like, why not? Did you see this? Now, we're laughing, but it doesn't matter what department it is. We choose movies on this, but listen. This is one of the reasons why Christianity is so robust and strong. Why? Because it's, first of all, historical, and it depends upon witnesses, eyewitnesses. Not one. It's not someone's private interpretation. Oh, I had a dream and you weren't there. You didn't see it. No, we're talking about hundreds of witnesses that talk about something that if you're a thinking person, you have to own up to. Wait a second. What are these people saying? It corroborates something, a truth. It's how we know something is true. We have witnesses. By the way, let me just say that this is one of the reasons why God says, I hate a false witness who testifies lies. Why? Why would God say, I hate a false witness? Because it has the ability to lead people astray. Because that's one of the ways we know, we come to know whether something's true or not. So here we are today. I've brought some witnesses. This is very unusual. We have some witnesses up here, and I just want them to testify. So would you guys raise your right hand if you would? I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So I'm just kidding. You guys, put your hands down. We're trusting that you're going to tell the truth. This is our, as I said earlier, this is our 35th birthday. And I really felt like in my heart, actually through this whole month, we'll be celebrating, that I wanted to bring the elders up here and just have them witness. Not tell something they read in a book, Most of them have been here in this church since I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and here they are. So why not just have them speak and see whether or not what if there's truth or they're corroborating something. So let's just begin, and I want to start with Brother Bob and Sister Nancy. So I was. Again, they came to one of the first services of our church. I was 8 years old. We have a picture of them teaching a Sunday school class. When I'm 8, you guys are trying your best, and my head's laying on the table. I'm not paying attention. But I remember a story that my mom and dad shared with me about Brother Bob and Sister Nancy. It was one of the first or second services, and we were meeting in Rolling Ridge Elementary School. And my dad was rushing around and setting up chairs, you know, getting ready for service and making sure everything is ready. And Brother Bob came to him. This is one of his first or second Sundays, and said, Pastor Arley, don't you have something else you can be doing? He said, well, yeah, but I have to get the chairs out and get ready for service. And Brother Bob said, I'll do that for you. And he's been serving in this church since that day for 35 years, ever since. Listen, now there's space in your notes. It says elder's witness for you to take down what the Holy Spirit's going to say to you through these witnesses, okay? So he was serving God and still serving God by serving another person. We don't have to make this mysterious. And so I was thinking Brother Bob was in the original Team Oranger. We have some Team Orange. Team Orange, if you don't know, are those who've gone through growing and joined a team, and they're actually making the church work. They're serving. But this was the first, one of the first Team Orangers. And so, love you guys. Brother Bob, would you witness or testify to how you've seen, one of the ways you've seen the Lord move in this church?
I'm glad you said one of the ways, because we could be here all day if I talked about a bunch of them. But I thought about the beginning of the church. In 1984, we was a congregation of about 50 people, including the children. We had a small piece of land in Fairfax County, 3 acres, which the county said we couldn't build one. But Pastor Arley felt it was important that we get some land that we could build on. He searched records and found that there was 33 acres of land, again, in about 10 miles east of here on Route 7. And he went and sought out the owner and said, you know, I understand this land's for sale. He said, yes, but another church is buying it. And Pastor Arley had a way of really touching people. And he said, if they don't make it, would you consider selling it to us? And he said, yeah, I'll put you on the list, but they're gonna buy it. Months later, Pastor was in South America, and the owner of the land, name was Mr. Money, and he called Jerry and said that the other church withdrew, and we was able to get in touch with Pastor Arley. He says, "Running, go up there and give him a deposit. Tell him we're serious about this." And his dad and I went up there, and I said, "Mr. Money, you know, I got a check for you that we want to buy this land." And he said, didn't I shake that preacher man's hand? I said, yes, sir. He said, that's all you need. And so anyway, pastor come back, informed the church that we was in the process of reviewing the land to make sure everything was okay. And then we agreed that we were going to buy the land for $360,000, 33 acres. We started saving money. Pastor set a date out in the future when we were all going to come together and say how much we would give toward the purchase of this land. We was able to sell the property we had, but we're still $233,000 short. And it wasn't many people there in the church. But we came together on the designated Sunday, and we collected $178,000. And we were just rejoicing. It was so much money. But that night, pastor's pastor, Bishop John Mears, came to the church to speak to us. And he said, why are you happy? Did you meet your goal? Is your God that small? He said, the God I serve is much bigger than that. And the church, with not many there that night, got real silent. And all of a sudden, somebody started weeping, and they stood up and said, "I've been saving money for a lot of years to buy a piano for my children, and I'm going to give that money." Another young couple, they were 10 years married, 3 children, and they said for years they've been saving to get a deposit to buy a house. And they had saved $3,000, and they were going to give that. And other people started to stand up and say, "I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that." A bunch of us got up and said, "I'm going to take out a loan and we're going to put that money in." Bottom line is, at the end of the night, we raised all the money. We were able to, with that small group of people, raise $233,000. And we bought that 33 acres of land. And that was just the beginning of what God did, the miracles he did in our behalf to get us to where we are today.
So,
and to show you how good God is, the couple that gave the $3,000, about 3 weeks later or so, they got a check in the mail from a lawyer out west, said that they had some long-forgotten relative that passed away, and they inherited $10,000. The family that gave up their piano money some years later got their piano. And everybody who took out a loan, every single person, paid that loan off in time. So God was good, I tell you, is good.
Amen, amen. You know, Sister Nancy, I just wanted you to share real quick. You, when you're in a church for 35 years, obviously there's going to be seasons, I'm just thinking, or times when you're like, there's probably going to be a reason to leave. Stuff happens, different direction. Program, I don't know. There's all kind of things that happen in church, but 35 years, I mean, how did you stay so long? I mean, what?
Well, you know, 35 years, it's gone by so quickly. I guess when you're having a good time, time flies. But really and truly, you know, God has been so faithful. And when I think about our years and the possibility of leaving our church, we had to sit down and think, has there ever been a time when we want to leave the church? There never has. Never has been, because why would we leave with all the excitement of the Lord and what he's doing in our midst? You know, we always had that heart. But the thing of it is, really, is that in reality, there were problems. You know, needless to say, we had struggles. There were problems. There was things that maybe we disagreed with that happened. And you know, reality, that's the truth. But you know what? We were committed. We're committed to this church, and we're committed. And we liken it to our relationship in our marriage. You know, we have problems. Maybe we have arguments and things we disagree with, but we don't give up. We keep on working. We pray, and we believe the Lord for it, right? So that's the way it is with the church. And God has been faithful. He is faithful. We have submitted to Pastor Arlie's leadership over all the many years. Pastor Charlie, we submit to your leadership for the future. And we're excited to see what God's going to do, because he's faithful. And be faithful to the house of the Lord, because you will be blessed.
Wow. And so, Brother Bo and Sister Lori, Brother Bo, you were much younger then, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I was. So, quite a bit.
How old were you when you first started coming to the church?
Charlie, you're not supposed to ask that. But I was 29.
You were 29 when you came to the church.
Yes, sir.
Of course, we didn't have a building. You were coming to a school. And you weren't married yet to Sister Lori.
Not married, no.
And so I just want you to see that once you're planting yourself in a house and over the long term, that God can. So now you've got kids and are married and grandkids and all been raised.
Yes, sir.
In this house.
In this house, yes.
So, you know, one of the stories that I remember Mom and Dad sharing with me that meant so much to our family is when Brother Bo first came, Dad was teaching a Bible class in a church's basement that let us use their basement. And there was probably 15 or 20 people. Church very small. And Dad had his briefcase out. He, you know, taught the class. Everybody left. He was cleaning up. And when he went to his briefcase, there was sitting in the briefcase a check that Bo had written, just a little check. And Mom and Dad, that meant so much to them because here they were, had left everything, were taking a great risk, not much money at all. And here was somebody saying, hey, we're behind you tangibly. And that encouraged them so much that they still remember that today and sharing that with me. So, Brother Bo and Sister Laura, we love you and appreciate you. And I want you to take a moment. I know you love to do this anyway, speak in a microphone. and witness to how you've seen God move.
So now we have 33 acres, like Brother Bob was talking about. And so we were excited about building a church, and we're submitting plans and putting all that through the county. And this is Fairfax County. And they came back and said, well, you can build a 300-seat sanctuary, but not a 500 like we wanted. And we would really like to have this property for a sports complex. We want to buy it. And they made us a ridiculously low offer, which we rejected. And so I guess it was several months later, Pastor Arley being Pastor Arley is, decided he was going to go to Fairfax and try to persuade them to change their mind about us building a larger church. So he met with the official, and they said to him, Pastor Arley, we're not going to let you build a bigger church, but we still want to buy this property. What will you take for this property? So Pastor Arley threw out this humongous number. I want $5 million. And I can remember clearly the official saying to Pastor Arley, Pastor Arley, do not jerk me around. And Pastor replied, if you'll give me a check for $5 million today, you can have the property. The official walked upstairs, came back down with a $5 million check. This does not happen. He didn't go to board meetings. He didn't talk to anybody. He came down with a $5 million check. So in 4 years, turned $360,000 into $5 million. Amen.
And all the seed, is this microphone on? You got me? All the seed that people had given and sown and sacrificed, God took and just multiplied that exponentially. And this church, through that one miracle, this small little church, had its infusion of capital to get going. So we were able to purchase a building in Sterling Park and turned an old office building into our church. And we met there for 18 years from this one miracle. So
can I do one more?
Yes, sure.
So this was back in 89. And so let's fast forward to this property. So Pastor came to us one day really excited. I found 50 acres on Route 7, exactly what we're looking for. And it's for sale for $4 million. Pastor, we don't have $4 million. Well, I'm not going to offer him $4 million. I'm offering $2 million. Being Pastor Arley. So he had our realtor come in and say, I want you to go present this offer for $2 million. And the realtor said, Pastor, they just sold 167 acres across the road for $13 million. They've already set the price for property in this area. And they'll laugh at me. I'm not going to take it. Well, he was a church member, and Pastor Arley persuaded him reluctantly to go present it. So he did, and he came back and he said, no, we're not taking $2 million for this property. So a few months later, this is like the end of September, they called and said, we'll take your offer if you can settle by the end of the year. Well, we didn't have $2 million. But somehow, we miraculously came up with the money and settled on the last day of the year for this property here for $2 million.
Amen.
So that might sound like I'm puffing up Pastor Arley, and I guess I am a little bit, but we would not be here if it wasn't for Pastor Arley and God moving through Pastor Arley to do this. He stepped out in faith to go do this and bring us to this point. You know, we all can get in our safety zones, me included, but if you're going to do great things for God, you need to step out in faith. Faith in action is what moves God. It always requires us to do something first. Malachi 3:10 says, if you will tithe, I will bless you. It calls for an action. You need to do that first, and I will bless you. If you obey my commandments, I will bless you. It requires you to do something first. And if you'll do that and step out in faith, God will bless you. Amen?
Amen. 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 So basically, we're sitting on this property. This isn't absolute. This is a miracle. But it goes, has seeds that go way back, and people really trusting and believing the Lord. And so, Sister Evelyn and Brother David, good morning. So glad, so good for you to be here this morning with us. Again, these are all elders. Sister Evelyn and Brother David are on loan temporarily. They're helping their daughter and son-in-law start a church, plant a church. But you were telling me a story that just touched me, and that wasn't how you came to community church. I'd never heard this before, but you were in England, and you knew that you were coming here to the States, and you were in a nice, lively, worshiping African-American church, and in prayer, the Lord showed you something. Anyway, so you pick it up.
That's correct. The Lord, that was 1982, and I came to this church
hold the microphone. Yeah.
Praise. The Lord spoke to me and told me in prayer in London that he's going to move me and send me to a church. I did not know where the church was, but all I could see some, it was a white church he sent me to. So I said, okay, Lord, I don't know, but I'll follow you. However, when I came to America, the Lord sent me to Pastor Arley's church, and it was in Rolling Ridge. And of course, how true it was a white church. And he opened his hands and he received the family very well, a lot of love. And from Rolling Ridge, we moved a lot of time, tents and bowling ring. Pastor Arley, he's been faithful with the vision Lord put into his heart to build his church. And he wants to build a church for the Lord. So he would make the way for us, and the Lord would bless him. Praise God, as he speak to the Lord with prayer and long and restless night. And the Lord said, we're going to move him here and give him a church. So this is where the Lord took us, Ashburn. And God give us this beautiful church. You may sit there today. Pastor Al, we got to pray for him. He prayed to God, he cried a long night to build this church, that we can have this church to sit down. And the Lord keep making way for us. And this is where we all is. A loving church. Just pray for Sister Jill and Pastor Arley, and they will take your places, because this is a loving church. Okay? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. You can... So... what struck me, and I had never heard this story before, was first of all, Sister Evelyn and Brother David are people of prayer, and they've given this church a gift and a legacy of praying. And I just appreciate so much the fact that you're praying and that you listen to God. Listen, folks, God will speak to you. She was praying, and she saw... felt like the Lord was saying to her, I'm going to send you to a white church. That's the first time I heard her say that. I was like, what? She's like, yes. And when I came here, and I came to this little church, the Lord spoke to me and said, this is it. And she's been here. They've been here ever since. And I was thinking that, Sister Evelyn, Brother David, I want to thank you for being pioneers. First of all, praying and listening to the Lord, but being pioneers in diversity. It would have been much easier to hear a voice like that and just rationalize it away and say, you know, and go to a church where she's comfortable. She was a pioneer and she came here, and we're so much the better. Now I want you to look 35 years later at the fruit and diversity of Community Church. Amen. And bless you. Thank you for showing leadership. Brother Bill and Sister Sherry, you guys started coming here years ago, and you were just a young couple, right? Starting your family?
This is true, yes. And I made this point in the first service that I was 1 year younger than Brother Bill.
Okay.
So I was 28. We had two... yeah, look at me now. So anyway, Sherry and I came. We had two young children, 1 and 3, I believe. And we were a single income family in a very expensive county. So we had lots of challenges. But what we saw here was God's hand on the leadership. We saw it in Pastor Arley. We saw it in many of the members, you know, Brother Bo and Brother Bob and Sister Nancy. And what an inspiration. It moved us. It taught us how to go through thick and thin. We saw them go through, you know, disappointment, failure. But they hung in there. They were an example to us. And Sherry, would you like to share?
And especially Sister Jerry was a big example as a young mother and just a young couple trying to make it. She was a good example and a model for women in general and moms especially. She was a strong woman, yet she was submissive to her husband in a way that the Lord would have her. And I think that legacy that she passed on is very apparent in Pastor Charlie and Sister Jill in their leadership role. It's been like a thread of God's anointed leadership for all of our church, and it's lasted this long.
Yes, and our children, of course, grew up in this church. They went to Fire Escape. They went to KGB for the kids. And they grew up loving God, serving the Lord, and married godly men, which I'm very grateful for.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. And so 35 years ago, Mom and Dad, you guys drove up here and planted Community Church and pastored it for its first 27 years. So you guys just take a minute and testify, give a witness to what you've seen.
Okay. Well, we did come up here, and we had our 4 children. The youngest was 2, and the oldest was 12. And we had a house that was rented that we moved into, leaving an old house built in 1906 that we had just remodeled. But when I was putting my dishes in my cabinet, the Lord put a song in my heart that was filled my heart with joy, and made it goes to say, "You make my mouth to praise and sing, and the joy of the Lord increases every day, and I find myself out reaching out in love." So anyway, as that song began to rise in my heart, I felt like this is home. And this is going to be home, and this is where we're going to raise our 4 children and raise up a church that the people will come, and we will be able to teach them and lead them in the ways of the Lord. And then a wonderful thing happened that when Arley had flyers printed, and we got you and Arley and Laurie and some little neighborhood kids and went around the neighborhood passing out flyers, putting them in all the doors. And so we had our first service at Rolling Ridge Elementary School. And after a couple weeks, the Lord sent in Bob and Nancy, and they came because of word of mouth. And then he sent Bo And he brought Laurie. Anyway, he sent Bo because he got a flyer on his door. And then the Irvins came because they heard Arlie on the radio. He had a radio broadcast every day during those days. And so every means that we could, we used to try to reach somebody, you know, else for the Lord. And so that's what I'm so thankful for, that the Lord sent people like are here witnessing today that would believe when there was no building, but or there was no place, but they believed that there was going to be a place because you kept saying, we're going to build a church and it's going to be on Route 7. So every time, and we had some crazy things, like when we bought our property, we built a baptistry out of plywood and put some black paper in it and filled it with water, and we were going to have our first baptism. And so I think there was about 20 people going to be baptized, but as the people were being baptized, other people started getting in line to be baptized. And that day they baptized 56 people, and they didn't have towels. And they went home wet, but the Lord was moving in the lives of people, and that was so powerful for us. But every time we pass by this building now, yeah. Arlie and I, we're amazed at our God, who is almighty, who is all-powerful, and he was the one that has worked and enabled us to do anything that has been done. It's our God. And when we pass by and we can see the steeple from every direction, we always thank God for what you've done. But God, thank you for what you are yet going to do, that you have... Yes, thank you, Lord. And our prayer is always, Lord, let this place be a place where all the generations, our children, can learn about God. And I'm so thankful for the leadership that we have, that even though all of us are kind of retired or older, not those back there, but here, and we have the next generation that is serving the Lord, and and we have a pastor that's leading us, and we're just so thankful. And our prayer is, Lord, let this place always, even 100 years and years to go, let it always be a place where the Word of God is being taught and heard and listened to, and people are coming to have their lives changed.
Hallelujah. Can you? Is somebody playing harder? That mean I gotta quit?
No, you can go. I'm
not gonna quit. I'm not gonna quit. They might as well quit playing.
No, it'll help him.
No, the organ's not helping. I'm sitting here hearing these stories, and you know what I want to ask you? What are you going to do with your life when you're old and got all this turkey? What are they going to say about you? What did you do? What did you build? What family did you raise? And now, at the age that we are, I mean, not her, she's 20 years younger than I am. Not really. The question is, what are you going to do? Where are you going to put your heart? Where are you going to sacrifice? These guys and ladies up here, they laid down everything. I know, because they gave and gave and believed and believed. And I think sometimes the believing was harder than the giving. But this building you're in is a miracle.
But the miracle is not the building. It's the people that's in this house. You're the miracle. You're the miracle. And now, Jerry didn't get old, but I've got old, and I've got a chicken thing behind my neck here. By the way, I'm proud of it. I'm going to go home and take a picture of it. But here's a question. When you're as old as I am, what would you say that I did? What did I do with my life? Did I serve the Lord? Or did I serve my own self? And I hope you'll be able to say, I gave the Lord my life. And Lord, whatever you want to do with me, it's wonderful. And I pray for you now in the name of Jesus. I speak the word of the Lord over you, that you'll come to that place in your life where you'll bow before the Lord. And as you'll say, Lord, here's my life. Here's my family. Here's my money. Here's my future, Lord. It's all in your hands. And if you'll do that this morning, if you'll commit to give yourself to the Lord, come up here after church and talk to Charlie or somebody and say, what have I got to do? Find out what God wants you to do and do it. For goodness sakes, don't get old and do nothing. Let your life count for something. And now in the name of Jesus, I bless you. I call His grace to come upon you and that you will fulfill everything that God designed for you when you were born. Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question. We talked about witnesses. How many more witnesses do you need? Do you still need corroboration? Seriously. With that thought, I want to read a closing passage. This is Psalm 92, verse 12. You can read it with me if it's up there. The righteous will what? Flourish like a palm tree. They will what? Grow like a cedar. And here's the key, verse 13. Let's read it together. Planted in the house of the Lord. Let's read it again. Planted where? Planted in the house of the Lord. They will what? Let's read it again. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They will stay what? Fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is good. He's my rock. He's my shelter. Those planted. How many more witnesses do you need? To plant yourself. It matters where you're planted. It matters if you're planted. It matters. How many more do you need? It's going to impact your children and your children's children and your own life for the better. You'll flourish in the courts of our God. Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the witness we've heard. Be careful. Be careful, son, daughter. Don't forget. God's able. He's a miracle working God. Keep your confidence in Him. Tell it to your children and to your children's children. In Jesus' name we pray. All of us said, amen.